Well, we're going to talk about worship this morning. And when I think about the last several days when it's been a little bit rainy and gray and maybe a little gloomy, you might say, and then all of a sudden the sun comes out and it's a gorgeous day, that's worship. You come to a place of worship and the sun comes out and all of a sudden everything changes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you would turn there, you're going to need to take a look. We don't have all the scriptures out. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and turn your devices on, or you can go old-fashioned here and open up a Bible, you know, paper, that kind of thing. And we have some available Bibles always for you if you need that. It's interesting that as we've been talking about the end times, and I'm thinking about all the things that have been going on, I thought we need to start moving to some practical things that can be done for us in terms of how do we deal with some of the moments that might be overwhelming or challenging in our lives. And worship is one of those very important tools that God has given us that we can use. And so we're going to look at a passage that gives us the amazing picture of the power of worship and how worship can change our lives. You know, tonight, having a worship night with the young adults are having a special Engage Now, a night of worship. And what a powerful moment for those individuals. We're looking forward to that tonight. It's going to be exciting to have that worship. So engage in worship, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'd like to just read through some of the passages with you. And if you'd follow along with me before we go anywhere, kind of get the lay of the land. Now, the entire chapter has a lot to say, and I'm going to suggest that you read the whole chapter later. I'm just going to pick up a few pieces so we understand the events that are going on. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, looking at verse 1 and 2, we'll start there. It says, "It happened after this," so there are some events that have transpired, "that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Amorites came to do battle against Jehoshaphat." Now, you got to understand, to come against the battle against Jehoshaphat is literally the nation of Israel. Jehoshaphat is the king in charge. So when the word says they came to do battle, literally these nations, not tribes, but nations, are coming against the nation of Israel at this time. So it goes on and says, "Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hezron Tamar, which is today even known as En-Gedi.'" So what's happening right now is that this is not a few people. This is literally thousands have come together. We'll see in a moment when I get to the map. You'll see that literally this is a great multitude. We're talking about overwhelming odds. I don't want you to see this as some little battle. This is a moment in time when Israel actually is thinking we could be wiped out. And so, and literally, we'll see in the map, their backs are against the sea. So in front of them is this huge multitude, this unbelievable, overwhelming force, an army made up from three nations have decided that, and they, if you will, have a coalition here, that they are coming against an entire nation, and everyone's going, "What are we going to do?" And we'll see in a moment. Now, we continue on looking at a little further in the chapter. We're going to jump down a little bit to verse 15. And so there's a lot going on, but basically, "And he said, 'Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat.'" So a prophet is speaking a word to this nation. "Thus says the Lord to you." So when you hear that and read that in Scripture, that's a prophetic word. And it's a word of encouragement. You know, when you hear a prophetic word like this, one of the ways you know that God is speaking to you prophetically is that it comes as a word of encouragement to strengthen you. It's not a word, and sometimes people misinterpret it, you know, even personal prophecy. You know, personal prophecy is very much a gift of the Holy Spirit, something that we can operate in, but you can tell pretty quick in terms of what's going on because of how it's coming across. And so here it says, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Can you say amen to that? That's got to be encouraging, because you got to get the sense of this. Everyone's looking right now in Israel going, we are in serious trouble. The forces are coming against us. We're basically going to get wiped out here. I mean, they're looking at the forces, and it is absolutely overwhelming. You got to realize at the time that they're doing this, the military strategy of the time was to amass a force so far larger in number that you could overpower your enemy. You got to realize they didn't have the military technology we have today. It wasn't like you got tanks rolling out, missiles being fired, and you know, air support and all that. You had basically mostly hand-to-hand combat. You might have been throwing some spears or arrows, but basically you're about to go against a force, and everyone's thinking, here's how we're going to win. We'll wear you out. Because we already know there's going to be a certain amount of damage that's going to occur. There's going to be a loss of life. And so if we can overwhelm you, and let's say for every one of you, we've got 10 of us, we might lose half, but we still got number six who's going to take you. And eventually we can win that way. So that's why this is, the word says, a great multitude. We don't exactly, but it is, in terms of strategic powers and what's the process, the movement of what they're about to do. Right now, this great multitude is coming against them. And to hear this word was very powerful. Because again, can you imagine being one of those sitting, you know, who are getting ready to fight in Israel, and all of a sudden a very powerful word from a prophet you trust is saying, listen, do not fear nor be dismayed. Do not be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now jump down to verse 17. He goes on and says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Now, can you say amen to that? I mean, there's nothing better than hearing someone say, relax, you know, but it's not exactly what they're saying. It says, look at, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. And again, he repeats himself, a very important, do not fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So this is kind of exciting, good news. It's like, now I want you to hear what they're saying. It's not that they're not going to move towards the enemy in battle. This isn't, okay, go hide in your church, sit down and relax. I'm going to take care of everything for you. Because what's being said here is you are going to march into the battlefield. And you got to realize, we know what's going to happen because we're reading it. They at that moment had no idea. They had no idea about what, because they're all thinking normal strategic warfare. We are going to march through the woods. We're going to face overwhelming odds. And some of us are definitely not going to see tomorrow. Probably most of us, we're going to be injured or dead. But somehow God's going to do something. And so we're getting ready to go in. And when this word was spoken, they still weren't quite exactly sure what was going to happen. Isn't that where God needs us sometimes? Where we trust him? Sometimes you're probably like me. I would like all the details way ahead of time. I don't want to have to find out as I go. God, just give it all to me right now, and then we'll move forward. And often God says, no, you need to move forward, and then I'll tell you after you get there. Now, how about if we vote on this, right? We can't. This is why it says, trust in God. Believe in the Lord. Now, it goes on. Look at verse 20. It says, early the next morning, so now we're tomorrow, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. So again, the army went out into the wilderness. They're now marching. They're moving forward. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, and again, he's leading the charge here. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have expected a general or a king who's leading a force to say, okay, here's what we're going to do, guys. We're gonna take you guys to the right. We're gonna flank the enemy. You on the left. You're gonna move a little bit. You know, split the troops a little bit. And we're gonna. You guys go around to the boulders here. We'll go through the woods. You guys are flanking over here behind the hill. And then we're gonna move forward. And we got some new weapons, by the way. So here's some new double-edged swords. I know you're used to a single edge. Now we got double edge. So let's go get them. No, what does Jehoshaphat say? I love this. So he said, listen to me, O you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So he's repeating what was said. And you'll be able to stand firm. That's a military term. You're going to be able to hold your ground, even though a force greater than you is going to try to move you out of your place, out of the place where you're standing. Believe in this, in his prophets, and you'll succeed. After consulting the people... Now, you got to realize there's a lot more being said than what we have here. So we don't have all the words here, but we have the basic point. And the king, I love this, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord, praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. At that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. How many of you want to join the worship team? I mean, here is the worship team of Israel. I mean, being part of a worship team is dangerous. Did you know that? And really what's happening here is the strategic plan is let's get a bunch of our best singers out in front. Let's get, you know, guys in their armor and everything, but instead of carrying swords, they're going to carry instruments, they're going to carry their voices, and they're going to lead the charge. You're going to face the army, you're going to face the enemy first. You know, sometimes I read that, I think, I want my own personal worship team. So when I come across bad moments, I can go ahead and face the enemy, and I'll have my worship team going in front of me. Can you see a minute of that? Oh, that's so great. Why don't you go backwards on the slide? Hallelujah. That's really exciting to see what's going on. Now, look what it says. We see what happened here. Again, we're 2 Chronicles 20, 20 through 23. We're coming to the end there. And after they made this great declaration, it says they began to sing and give praise. Just as they're doing that, the Lord, right, here's the Lord's involvement, caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. This is a good day. And the armies of Moab and Ammon, first of all, look what's happened. Those two nations turned on the allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them, wiped them out. And then, after they destroyed that army, it says, the very end of verse 23, they began attacking each other to the extent where they wiped each other out. And Israel's just standing there worshiping God. I mean, they're ready to go in battle if necessary. But they're worshiping God. What an amazing moment. See what God's done here. You look at this, and I want you to understand something, what we overall see. Worship is vital for the peace of our soul. You know, when you think about God's peace, you think of, for example, the armor of God. And it says we're to shod our feet with what? The gospel of? Say that with me, the gospel what? Okay, we can all do that. Gospel of?
Peace.
There you go. Cool. Really simple. And peace here is the absence of battle. In other words, we're having peace. There's peace that comes inside of us. Because how do we have peace? It's like in some of this situation, it's confidence. I know God's working. I can have the peace of God. There's an absence of fear. We're going to see in a moment the power of fear here. And what's taking place. And all of a sudden, God brings peace to us in such an amazing way. Worship is an essential tool in defeating the enemies of God. I want you to begin to realize we have a toolbox, and there's a number of tools in there. Today, we're only talking about one of the tools, worship. There's a lot of different tools that we have available, but one of the really great tools that we have that's essential. This is not something that's optional. Worship is essential. If we're going to defeat the enemies of God when they come against us, if we're going to experience the peace of God in our soul, then we need to become a people who worship God. And so here you have forces coming against the nation of Israel. And the map here, you can see what it looked like. This is a map of the time of Jehoshaphat. This is what the lay of the land looked like. I'm not sure if it's a little bit hard to read, but basically this is Israel here and the territories that they possessed. And surrounding them were those three nations. And you can see as they're coming against them, they had amassed somewhere in the middle area here. And so you have these nations coming in three directions. And of course, Israel's back is against the sea here. There's no place to go. I mean, there's no navy to run to. All they had was really to their back was the sea. In front of them were three nations who were moving in great force against them. I mean, you think about it. We're reading the news today. We wonder, when is the day going to happen when all of a sudden a coalition is going to come and this, you know, Syria, Jordan, the Arab nations all of a sudden are going to form a coalition and we're going to hear the news report on Fox News or CNN. All of a sudden, the nations that surround Israel are moving against them. And what's the world going to do? What's going to happen? I mean, you begin to realize that this is something that we live with, this kind of fear and understanding that there are a lot of forces that surround Israel. Israel is literally surrounded by enemies. And so this is nothing really necessarily new or unusual for us, but it begins to give us this clear picture of what they're facing and what happens. Now, again, you have to realize that I hope when you see this, you see the largeness of what's coming against them. This is a lot of men coming against the nation of Israel. Thousands and thousands are coming against them. Now, we look at the response here, and we see, as we've read in 2 Chronicles, the next slide, we see that, okay, the report is a great multitude is coming against you. Okay, we get that, right? And so, in other words, here it is in the contemporary translation. You're dead. It's over. You are not going to see tomorrow. Jehoshaphat, I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how strong you think your God is. We have so many men. You are so outnumbered. You are so overwhelmed. Tomorrow is not coming for you. When you face us in battle, it's over. And they're all thinking that. And I got to tell you, I'm sure Jehoshaphat consulted with his generals, he consulted with his military experts, and they're all going, where can we run and hide? And yet the word of the Lord comes and says, go out and face them. Now, the reaction and response, fear, seek the Lord, proclaim a fast. Now, I want you to think about that. This is a very human reaction. I love the fact that God is not going to ask us to not be human. And when you come against something that's overwhelming, when you come against something that's that big in life, guess what? You are going to be afraid. And so that is a God-given emotion. We will fear. The big question is, what are you going to do when you're afraid? What's the next step? Because I want you to understand, this is critical to the next step. God is not saying, don't be afraid. He's saying, listen, you don't have to live in this fear. When you face an enemy, don't stay there. Don't live in it. Don't let it become a part of you. Instead, believe in the Lord. And so what happens here is look at what he does. Fear, can you go backwards, please? Fear leads to seeking the Lord. So here's what happens. Jehoshaphat does, and I believe here's a great word picture of what to do. You face overwhelming odds. You are afraid. Next step, seek God. And how do you seek God? Well, in this case, they proclaimed a fast. I mean, think about it. What's the purpose of a fast? The purpose of a fast is to focus on the Lord. So what you do is you set aside a season, a time, a day, 2 days, a week, whatever you're doing, and you're going, I am not going to eat food. And I'm just going to take all that extra time that I have. I'm going to take all of that extra. I'm going to set aside this time. I'm going to seek the Lord, hear from him. And every time I hear my stomach growl, it will remind me my purpose is to seek God. Now, there's other ways you can do that. Fasting is one way. But I got to tell you, if you're about to face annihilation, I would strongly urge you to go fast. Because that's one of the powerful things you can do. Scripture even says that there are times when we come against something, and the New Testament says the reason we weren't victorious is because we did not fast. Prayer and fast. It says what's going to win the day is prayer and fasting. Let me give you a heads up. I'm going to be calling us to a season of fasting. When I look at the world today, and when I feel some of the things I'm sure you're feeling, there's a lot going on. And I've been thinking about this for the last several weeks. You know, we're talking about the end times. I've been doing a lot of reading and looking at current events. And like you, listening to the stories of all the craziness going on in our world today. And sometimes, you know, it just, fear rises up in you. I'm waiting, when is North Korea going to get just enough distance to land in Seattle? You know, or hit, you know, the Bangor Naval Base. I mean, we all kind of have those thoughts. We think, well, we would be a target, right? And we begin thinking about the implications behind that. And so what are we to do? How are we to respond? What is our reaction and then our response? So we might feel fear in something like that. But rather than living in that fear, we respond by seeking the Lord and perhaps fasting or getting into His Word or calling people around us to pray with us. We have a number of options. Because, you know, part of it is we're not going to ever be in the meeting with a military strategist about what we're going to do. But let me beg to differ. We can be in that meeting by prayer. We can be present with our leaders by praying for our leaders, asking them to have wisdom, asking them to hopefully seek the Lord and hear from God and respond in a way that is godly and correct and with wisdom. And so in a sense, we can have a reaction, but then an amazing biblical godly response by seeking Him, perhaps proclaiming a fast so that we can begin to see God move in some absolutely unbelievable, amazing ways. Because would you make application to yourself personally? Don't we face battles in our own lives? I mean, sometimes a battle is when all of a sudden the doctor calls up and says, well, you have cancer. And you go, well, I didn't want to ever hear that. And all of a sudden you hear that report and the battle's on. The doctor says, I need you in here next week. We're going to start chemotherapy. And you go, wow. I don't know about you, but if I got that call, I would be afraid. I'd be going, oh no. Now, what's the next response going to be? Our reaction is normal. Listen, God's word does not give us instruction to stop being human. You know, you hear someone say, oh, you shouldn't be afraid. Just praise God through it. You know, some kind of this crazy denial of some sort of that somehow we're not. That is not biblical, nor is that healthy. A normal, healthy human being, when they get bad news, when they hear something, they have a normal reaction. God built in the emotion of fear into every human being. That's actually a very good thing. If you don't have fear, that's actually a bad thing. Your amygdala in your brain was built to react in response to scary moments so you can do something. Can you say amen to that? But you don't live in it. You don't worry in it. You don't allow it to become something that becomes the new residence of your life. And so instead we seek God and we look to discover His peace. Rather than living in fear, we can live in the peace of God. I don't know about you, but I'd love to live in the peace of God rather than the fear of life. And that's a gift. You remember the scripture tells us that peace is an amazing gift that we can receive. It's ours to have. Sometimes we need to work towards it. Sometimes we need to be intentional about it and begin to bring that into our lives. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through chemotherapy. But you know what? We know from the studies that if you go into that kind of care, if God isn't going to miraculously heal you, you will have a much better result when you walk in with the peace of God. We know that if you get, you know, the diagnosis, you've got a heart problem, you've got a respiratory disease, an infection. You know what? Your attitude and the stress that reflects inside of you, it's an amazing, powerful negative in your life that can be overcome by the amazing power of God, his peace, the confidence. You know, peace has to do with the confidence of God. You trust God to bring about victory. You trust God to have an answer. That's what Jehoshaphat is saying. Listen, guys, we're not exactly sure. He did know at the time that the armies were going to turn against each other. All he said was, stand still and know the salvation of God. Literally, the salvation of God is the rescue of God. And so God did this amazing thing. He had them turn against each other. That's a powerful thing. And that's what we're talking about. When you face personal battles, when you face financial war, when you face relationship issues, when you face things at work, you might have a reaction that you're afraid. But now what you do with it is all important. We sort of talked a little bit about this with the guys on Saturday. I was thinking, you know, I should probably have warned you, the guys in the beginning, we're amplifying what we talked about on Saturday. But we talked a little bit about this. Fear in the face of sudden crisis does not disqualify us as a person of faith or as a person of strength. Sometimes I think people believe, and I've heard them say, I'm disqualified as someone who loves God because of what's happened. No, you're not disqualified. What makes the difference is what we do in the face of that fear. After you have that reaction, what do you do in terms of your response? And now we live differently because we are believers. We respond differently because we have Jesus in our life. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have this amazing resource of a community in our life. And therefore, we can react. We might react as a normal human, but then we respond differently. I've talked to people who've been through this, and you know, the normal response is call the professionals. Go see this person, that person, and on it goes. And then they're coming in and we're talking, and I'm saying, so what have you done? Well, I've done this, this, and this. And I'll say, have you thought about seeking God? And they'll go, wow, that's a great idea. As if somehow that's the last resort. Here's what the Word of God is saying. That's your first. You do that first and then go seek after the professionals. Seek God first, then go call the doctor. I mean, when's the last time you got bad news? And then you said, okay, God, let's talk about this. And then you take the next step. So you have to realize that this is a critical word to us in the world we live in today. That God is calling us to face what comes our way. And to realize it does make a difference. So Jehoshaphat's first line of defense, if you will, what he does in the face of overwhelming evil and powerful spiritual forces is we learn that the battle is the Lord's. We learn to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And we learn to be patient and watch the Lord move. Remember, this third one is a real pill. Wow, great, God. God says, okay, we're going to do amazing things tomorrow. You know, I don't like Mondays. Sunday is a great day. You know, we're encouraged, we're strengthened, we're in the Word, we focus on Jesus, we're hopeful, great things are going to happen, and God says, wait, we'll talk about it Monday. And then sometimes Monday comes, and it's Tuesday. And you go, okay, God, did I miss something here? And God says, be patient. Okay, I'll be patient. For how long, God? And God says, just be patient. Okay, I'm patient, God. Friday? And then there's a silence. God, excuse me, I said Friday? You see, that's the hard part. God says, I'm going to do this. And you don't know yet how I'm going to do it. But trust me, the battle is mine. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch the Lord move. That's part of the lesson. Now, again, it doesn't mean you don't do anything. You understand that even in Jehoshaphat, the troops were moving. There was movement taking place. And so there's something very clear in the instruction of this. But here's something I've learned, that nothing comes against us that God is not able to affect. Nothing. God can touch everything in our life. The problem is our expectation that he's going to touch something our way or a certain way. But the reality is God can come against things. Chronicles says, then the King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. Right? He's praying. He's worshiping God. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, they did the same thing, worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites from the clans of Korath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, worship again, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. I love this because God calls these two clans, which are part of the tribe, the Levitical tribe. Levitical tribe is the priesthood at the time, right? And I love the fact that you got to remember, the names of people or clans have meaning, and it's not there by accident. The definition, if you look this up in your Hebrew dictionary, you'll discover that these two Hebrew words, Korath and Korah, means to be allies. And so here's what the word's saying. These two clans joined in worship who were by name allies to God. And so the word is, be an ally with the Lord. An ally is someone you join forces with. And even more powerful than that is the word Korah, also means in the Hebrew, bald. All the bald guys got together to worship God. And powerful things happen. You see, men of that? See, those of you with hair are imperfect. But God brings that which is perfect into that place of a shout and a battle. Can you say amen to that? So here is a powerful word of our declaration that nothing comes against what God. It says here, early the next morning, the armies of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. You will be able to stand firm. You will be able to hold your ground. Believe in the prophets and you will succeed. Okay, we're going about this different. Then verse 21, after consulting the people, the king appointed the singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord, praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Can you read this with me? Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Say it one more time. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. So you're facing thousands of troops and enemies. You're facing thousands of cancer cells. You're facing thousands of bacteria. You're facing the most worst financial downturn that you could imagine. You're facing all kinds of crazy issues and situations at work or in your family life. And you declare, I'm giving thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. You're not in denial. You're in a declaration of fighting a battle that brings the peace of God. That's worship. That's God's call to us and how we're to live life and the things that we're called to do. And begin to realize the power of this and what God speaks to us. The kingdom of God must advance within us, within our soul, as much as it needs to advance upon planet Earth. Listen, God's word is telling us two things. One, he will advance on this planet. But before he does that, he needs to move in your life. I love the fact, and I this is something that's been such a powerful part of my experience, because so often I think of, you know, institutions, organizations being these big conglomerates, and they don't, I mean, nothing personal about it, nothing, you know, relational about it, just, you know, this big, you know, Amazon or Google or something, there's this big monster and, you know, who knows anything and they don't really care. There's so many of what's going on. And then I think God. Man, there are so many people of God. I mean, it's such a huge, monstrous, unbelievable institution and large and all that stuff. And here's what God keeps saying to me. As large and as many as there are, I know you personally. And I have this amazing relationship where Steve gets to talk to Jesus. And I'm not one of some mass humanity that has some voice that sometimes might be heard because I'm the loudest. God clears everything and says, it's just you and me, Steve. And he does the same thing for you. That's part of where peace comes, as you realize our relationship with Jesus is so personal and individual and absolutely amazing. So we realize that nothing advances in God's kingdom without worship. Nothing advances. Worship is a critical part. Nothing defeats the powers of darkness, of evil, like worship. Nothing will accomplish as much of God's purposes in us and through us as will our worship. God is calling us to be a people of worship, to recognize, God, you are bigger than anything I'm facing. Lord, you're the one who created all things. Lord, you're the one who is God Almighty. Lord, you're the one who dominates this world. Lord, you are the Lord my God. And when you begin to understand that and reflect it and declare it, I believe things will be different in your life. And if nothing else, you can replace the fear and the worry and the anxiousness with the peace of God. That passes all understanding. The peace of God. We learn from Jehoshaphat that we're to seek God first and trust in Him. When you read that, you realize that Jehoshaphat was reminding the people, our God has always been faithful. He's not going to stop. Listen, God's still faithful to you. It's not so you remember God's faithfulness. It will help our faith to grow. Worship and His Word will reinforce your faith. The Lord will win the battle for us, and it will be won through worship. Amen.